Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Friday, September 4th, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. South Carolina opens the 2026 football season tomorrow, 12:45 p.m., Williams-Brice Stadium against Kent, as you all know. But wanted to start off on a somber note. I wanted to wish the wish thoughts and prayers and my sincerest condolences to the family of Joe Rice. Joe passed away yesterday. Suddenly, age of 72 years old. What a great life he led. Certainly, a very successful person. I did not know him, but certainly very close to some people, many people that did. And they said, the guy obviously was very successful, but you wouldn't even know it talking to him. And we need more people like that in the world. And so anytime someone that's that good of a person passes on to the great beyond. It's sad. And for all of Gamecock Nation, it is. I mean, he's a tremendous supporter of the University of South Carolina athletically, academically. It's just quite a loss and kind of comes on the heels of a lot of other losses that the Gamecocks have gone through. Lou Holtz, Steve Tannehill, Eddie Floyd. It's just, it's been a rough spot, as far as all that goes, and losing Joe Rice right here before the football season kicks off. That's a blow institutionally, because he did mean a lot. I always thought Joe Rice was one of the best. They call them mega boosters, guys that have money and influence and things like that. And I always called him the best one I'd ever heard of in the SEC because, he was always willing to help, and again, I didn't know him, but a lot of people that did. But he wasn't a guy that meddled in things. He wasn't going to call the athletic director up and say, fire this guy or anything like that. He really did it the right way. And we know that's not always the case. With people that are your benefactors in college athletics, for sure. So, that was tough news to get for the collective Gamecock Nation yesterday. And I just wanted to, wish his family the best, his wife and all those folks that were close to him on a personal level. And again, to all of you out there, all of us, you hit a stretch sometimes where you lose people. I think that's true in life. And it's just happened far too often lately. And so, just keep everybody that we've lost over the past year or two in your thoughts and prayers. And certainly we'll be thinking of Joe Rice this weekend. So anyway, that was, again, tough news. But there's a game this weekend and we're going to talk about that and on Inside the Gamecocks, the preview show, our first one of 2026. Well, I have a good lineup today. Dave Cloninger did not make it in on Wednesday. He was touring Williams-Brice Stadium. So he'll be in. Matt Anderson will be in. Rafael Esparza will be in to get you going on the lines this weekend. By the way, check out Poly Market. That's the official predictions market partner of On3, which we are a part of. And so check that out if you'd like. And so Raphael will be in, John Strickland will be in, Michael Flint will be in, Jamie Bradford, the Mad Dog, myself. It's going to be a full house for Inside the Gamecocks, the preview show. Four quarter Friday to get you ready for all the Friday night high school football action. Is live this morning at 9. That will preview. And then tomorrow morning, they're doing this different this year, Four Quarter Friday. They do a recap show on Saturdays. So that'll start around 8. Phil and I will be along with the first episode of the tailgate show this year at 9:05. So about 2 hours and 45 minutes before kickoff. The Four Quarter Friday show, the ITG shows, preview show, all will be available on podcast on Apple and Spotify. And then the tailgate shows, when it's an early kick, we don't pod those up because it just The people that listen on the podcast version don't necessarily always want to go back and listen to a preview show. And the way that show is kind of funny and kind of light. And I don't think Carolina's going to lose tomorrow, but there's no hard-hitting analysis at that point that you're going to miss. Now, if it's a later kickoff, we do pot it up. So just a programming note there. Late night Gamecock show slash Rooster Rant will be Sunday night with Matt Anderson and Rob Williams. And then we'll get back to it next week. TheBigSpur.com, GamecockCentral.com, our sale, $29.95 for the whole year. Carolina, in theory, should be 1-0 at this time next season, heading into the second week, one calendar year from today. So you don't have to pay again until Carolina plays a game in 2027. How about that? And again, it's going to be a very eventful academic year at the University of South Carolina athletically, one way or the other. So get on board with that. It's not going to last long. They're definitely going to shut it off. They've extended it a couple of times. So please join us over there. Welcome, Will Gunner, WG, Wild Bill, formerly of 107.5 The Game, to our site yesterday. And back to the site. He was with me on the Big Spur way back in the day when, we talked about year 20, years three, four, five, six, instrumental in helping us get going. Certainly thrilled to be working with him again. He's all over the Insiders Forum. So we added him. Check that out. And yeah, it's been a pretty eventful week on the work end of things. Apologize for yesterday's episode. The internet's out. I can't fix it until whenever. And, just I had to go find a hot spot to do writing. And it's just one thing after another. Sometimes, folks, when you're working out of the crib, but back and in the saddle today. All right. So last night there was college football. Georgia Tech lost 16-14 on a blocked field goal. Anybody like the NFL offense that they're running at Georgia Tech compared to what they ran last year? Anybody out there? Raise your hand. Yeah. I mean, George Godsey, their offensive coordinator, is a Georgia Tech legend. He's a great quarterback for them. But you look at his background, lots of NFL, lots of NFL talk, 14 points against a Big 12 defense. And that's anecdotal. I usually don't really think in college football in general, and this is kind of my philosophy on it. I don't deal in a lot of absolutes, 100% absolutes, because there are none. There are none. There's not an absolute that South Carolina beats Kent State tomorrow. It's lottery winning type, highly getting struck by lightning, unlikely. But I like to deal with absolutes. So I'm not, I don't want to sit there and crap all over everything that's called a pro style offense in college football, because there are some that are very good. I'm just saying, you had this great creative scheme with Buster Faulkner, which is kind of an air raid on top of some pro run cons. You'll see Florida run it this year. But, and I know Godsey's a Georgia Tech legend. And I mean, Brent Key, I think, is a heck of a coach. But man, you got to look at the philosophy. I just don't, I don't, Georgia Tech, they're going to be able to get the athletes and linemen and all that. I mean, they're going to be good on the offensive line because of Brent. I don't know, man. I was woefully unimpressed. Colorado's go-go offense, which is definitely a college offense, wasn't much better. But at crunch time, you dial up the double tight end move down there. That's in the spread. That's very interesting. But Colorado goes into Georgia Tech and wins 14-13. Did I say 16-14? 14-13. Because it was going to be 16-14 had they kicked the field goal. Low scoring game. So two ACC games so far this year of note against Big 12 teams have been 15-10 North Carolina TCU and 14-13 Colorado and Georgia Tech. Are we going to see a defensive renaissance in the Atlantic Coast Conference this year? Virginia, NC State, 34-8. The defensive game. Or the offense is just bad. I don't know. You didn't tune in to talk ACC football today, I'm sure. But anyway, so that just kind of reinforces the thought about South Carolina as far as get away from that. get something your athletes can go play ball in, and let's go. I've said it many times, defense and special teams is like that. And there's no coincidence the defense and special teams through the years have gotten off to good starts and played mostly solid to good football. The offenses have not. And so we'll see if that changes. Kent State last year, 5-7. Big win at the end of last year, 35-31 at Northern Illinois. You remember the Huskies went to Notre Dame and won in 2024 and sort of have fallen apart since then. But it was a good year. Mark Carney, their head coach, not to be confused with the Prime Minister of Canada. Mark Carney, I think he's got a big future. Kent State's a hard job, even though that they do have some things. I mean, Lou Holtz went there. Speaking of Coach Holtz, Nick Saban went to Kent State. Don James, the legendary Washington Huskies coach, got his start at Kent State. I mean, there's some interesting threads in that fabric, without a doubt. It's one of the Ohio MAC schools. Ohio's a big football state. But they just haven't been very good through the years, and then they totally bottomed out. 1-23. He takes over as an interim and proceeds to win five games last year. That was unbelievable. Good. Beat first win was against UMass 42-6. Now, this year's UMass is different than last year's UMass, right? But UMass went and cut Rutgers. Rutgers recruits South Carolina a little bit. They got Trenton Lynch from Spartanburg High School, running back. And then, of course, famously, Aiden Gibson from Woodruff graduated early to go lose to UMass at the birthplace of college football last night, right? I think they're in trouble too. Look at their offense. It's like, why do you do this? Why do you do this? And so there's that. There's that with the UMass win for Kent last year, kind of got them going. And they played competitive football, not in every game. I will say this, just looking at last year's results, Florida State and Texas Tech both opened up a can on Kent. And it was not pretty. I mean, you're talking, I think Florida State had 35 in the first quarter. I think Texas Tech was up 30 something to something, 62-14 Texas Tech, and they had over 600 yards of offense. Florida State, as bad as they were last year, 700 and something yards of total offense in that game. Malzahn had the run game going. They won 66-10 in Tallahassee. And then the best team out of those three, for my money, Texas Tech played Oklahoma. It's probably last year, it's probably like a 17-13 defensive struggle, just to be honest. But, Oklahoma to me is a very strong football team last season on defense. Oklahoma won 44-0, only had 355 yards of total offense in that game. Michael Hawkins, who, if you remember, started as a true freshman against Carolina. It was not that good. He started that game. Mateer was not in the game. But they won 44 zip, but Carolina wins 44 zip tomorrow. And 355 total offense, people are going to be disappointed. I mean, you shouldn't be disappointed with a 44-0 win in an opener. But I understand why. Because people are sick of seeing bad offense. You want to get out there and get after it. But it'll be a hot day, so who knows? I mean, you get up by a lot, Shane substitutes liberally on a sweltering day, and everybody plays like ASO soccer style from like the second quarter on. You may only get that. And it has nothing to do with the starter, I mean, the team, it has nothing to do with you being deficient. But I'll say this, I'd be surprised if that happened. I'm not picking that to happen, but again, there's a lot of scenarios in games that don't necessarily reflect, problem areas or strengths in games like this too. I mean, if you go out and Carolina runs for 300 and something yards, and Chris Clark and Wes Mitchell, go listen to their Gamecock Live, Gamecock Central Live this week on the run game. They put it best, you know. It Carolina goes out there and runs all over them. That doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna line up against Mississippi State and Alabama and do that, as we know. But you don't run it well. That's usually a red flag. And to me, a lot of folks, you know, are hanging like a score on it. Like if they don't win by 70, not quite that extreme, but you need to win. We need to do this. You can't beat Kent by more than that. This team's not good. I don't know about the score. I mean, I've seen some teams that, I mean, we talked about it yesterday on the show. One of the best teams in this decade in college football were the 2022 Georgia Bulldogs. They beat Kent 39-22. They beat Carolina and Columbia 48-7. They beat TCU for the national title 65-7. So teams kind of go up and down, and the opener doesn't always tell the tale. You know, I'll use some examples of this. You know, if you go to 1984, the best regular season still win percentage wise in program history, 10-1. Carolina beat the Citadel 21-14 in the opener. Everybody's pissed. I don't need to remind you about, speaking of pissed, that Old Dominion game in 2024. A team turned out pretty good. You know, so sometimes it's not always, you know, indicative. I think everybody's kind of tired of bad starts on offense, though. It'd be nice to go out and be efficient with it. And I think I kind of go back to the last time Carolina opened a season at noon, or the early window in Columbia. It's not noon, it's 12:45. But that was in 2018. And if you remember, Kurt Roper had been fired, Brian McClendon got the job. They kind of all collaboratively worked together on this new kind of spread offense. Carolina played Coastal Carolina and just went out there like Carolina does when they play Coastal Carolina in football and just whipped their butt 49-15. It was one of the better openers Carolina's had. You know, just went out there and took care of business. Almost scored half a hundred. Jake Bentley had a good day. They ran the football. Hot day there too. But you know, that got everybody ready for Georgia the next week, right? And reality set in on that team. So I think that you know, this is kind of the same thing because at the time in 17 or 18, coming off 70, you're like, well, Muschamp needs to fix the offense because there were times that the offense scored that season in 17. They won nine games, and times it didn't. And they needed a new direction. And then they debuted that new direction. Things were quite good. So I don't know. You know, maybe this is similar to that. You come out with a new offensive plan. Everybody's excited. You've practiced it all year. It makes sense. And, you know, you want to go out there and show it off. So it kind of sets up like that. You know, is Kent State as good as that 2018 Coastal team? I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, that wasn't a great coach. That wasn't. Coastal got good a couple of years later under Jamie Chadwell, but I don't think it was a great one. But, you know, it kind of sets up like that, even for the kickoff time. Everybody's excited about seeing the new. And so we'll see what happens with the new. You look at Kent State, Darrellus Clark is their primary weapon. Like Robert Loggia in Independence Day. They're preparing to fire their primary weapon. Special teams guy, wide receiver. They use him with gadget plays on offense. Drew DeShields, their quarterback, is excellent. I like some of their defensive linemen. They're big up front on offense, a lot of Midwestern offensive linemen, big kids. Carolina will match that with size and a lot of athleticism on the defensive front. Like South Carolina, their linebackers are big, huge even. My question, you know, one guy played at Michigan State, one guy, the Keith Nichol, who's the biggest one, 6'5", 245. He's from Philly. As the guy at Michigan State, Samaj Bridgman is from Philly as well. So tough Philly kids. Wonder if they know Jabri Coleman. And so there, he's there at another, and then, gosh, the kid's name escapes me, but he was at Kentucky last year, played in 10 games for the Wildcats. He's about 6'4", 240. My question is, can they run? You know, Keith Nichol is kind of the freaky gigantic linebacker, bigger than all of them. He went to South Florida last year, didn't really play a whole lot. That was a very athletic and fast defense. Kentucky being in the SEC, you have to run. I think you have to run to play at Michigan, Michigan State. So, that's my question about those guys is, are they fast enough? Don't know much about their secondary. It seems like they've got some decent players back there. They did lose DeAndre Martin, their deep threat wide receiver, in addition to Clark, who made some plays. I think he caught like 75-yard touchdown against Florida State. He's at the University of Virginia now. They didn't have a whole lot of portal ins and outs. I'm surprised nobody picked up on Clark, because I think he absolutely just watching him. If not the SEC, at least a bigger group of six, maybe Washington State, Oregon State, out in the Pac-12, or even the Memphis, like your bigger America. But no, he stayed right there at Kent. He's from Lima, Ohio, which is the hometown of Joe Morrison, former Gamecock, 1984 Gamecock head coach, 1984 to or 83 to 89, the man in black. He's from Lima, Ohio. So how about that? Nice little tidbit there. Their offense is a spread multiple. What I think they're going to try to do is get to third manageable with that six or seven, and then let DeShields run. I don't want to, you throw the term RPO around too much, but hey, look, they're coming. It's third and six, third and seven. Make your read here. If it's not there, take off. See if you can catch them with their pants down. Use their aggression against them. That would be what I would do against this defensive front. And that can lead to a very frustrating day, especially if the offense is clicking and you're running tempo and getting out there. That's again, it's going to be hot if they keep churning out first downs and staying on the field. That's going to be problematic if you're looking for a big score and a big win. And that's my first key to the game. Get off the field on defense. Just get off the field. It's going to be feel like 105 degrees. The best way to not have that impact your defense, just get off the field. And you got to play good sound assignment football. Now, I'm saying that as it relates to the top group. Being realistic, not being a homer here, if Carolina takes care of business on the scoreboard, you may see some backups, right? Those guys are backups for a reason sometimes, and not much to do with talent. And they'll make mistakes. That's why they're backups. Usually the guy that if all the talent is equal, the guy that doesn't make the most mistakes starts. And so I don't expect it to be perfection as far as getting off the field and all that the whole day. I think what Coach Mark Carney will do is try to, I mean, if they do get behind and the game's out of reach, you try to build on it, because they go to Ohio State in a couple of weeks, which would be interesting. It'd be interesting to see. Yeah, that'll be interesting to kind of check that out. They play Wofford next week. So this is one of two games. My hometown of Spartanburg. The Terriers go to Kent for the home opener. But I think you try to build positive. So, you may keep your starters out there a little longer and work against SEC athletes and all that. Again, there's no preseason practices as your first game, but I expect that. So, in the things that would not surprise me, now I'm not going to be surprised if against some of Carolina's backups, Kent has some success and maybe they have their starters in. That's just a hunch. I mean, shoot, you'd love to win 73 nothing and dominate, and they have about 48 yards of total offense. But nevertheless, we'll see what happens. They got a big running back. It's a lot of size on this Kent State team. It's a MAC team, but it's a big team. I just don't know how fast they are. I just don't know athletically. And it's a speed game. You're going to try to cover all Carolina's receivers and stop the run game and stop Lenore Sellers, and then with your offense, you're going to try to throw it past Vakari Swain and all those guys. I mean, Judge Collier, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. Offense needs to be clean. Kendall Briles said it this week. Lenore Sellers said it this week. No stupid penalties. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Don't drop passes. That's something to think about. I don't think Carolina's receivers have an epidemic with it, but when you're looking at things that could derail an offense and really start to wear on your defense, as if you got the perfect play dialed up, Lenore's delivers a strike and you drop it. So little things like that. It's an opener. And I think things will happen that we all go, oh God, I hope this isn't a sign for the rest of the year. Some people will think it's a sign. They'll get on Twitter and want to fire everybody, but everybody expresses emotions online in different ways, and that is just fine. So there'll be some unpleasantness, I think, beyond the heat on the field. Again, it's an opener. It's not something you can expect perfection, but just clean. Play clean football. Block. Know your assignments. Stupid penalties. Turnovers. Those types of things. Special teams. We got some news on special teams yesterday. Ethan Sanchez, who was an all Big 12 kicker at Houston. South Carolina cleared it with the SEC. He's one of those fifth-year guys. Class of 2022 guys. Not a pro. Did not sign a pro contract like the LSU guys, but really good kicker. Even if there was not the situation, and Max Kelly is going to be the place kicker tomorrow. He was the kickoff man last year, second year guy to Tennessee, scholarship guy. Even if these guys were a little, Upton Bellefonte and all these guys were a little more consistent, Ethan Sanchez is the best one. He's proven. Everybody talks about Carolina needing to hit from 50 plus. This guy can do it. There's a connection there through members of the staff. He's originally from Georgia, Dallas, Georgia, Paulding, one of the Pauldings, North Paulding, South Paulding. So Atlanta area. Ethan Sanchez, just a fantastic kicker, 21 for 24, I think. He's not eligible tomorrow. He's got to go through the NCAA-mandated acclimation process. But it's not going to surprise me one iota if he's not the kicker from Towson forward. And that's nothing against those other guys. And a lot of people see that as a negative. And, yeah, it would have been, but it's not. You can't – and it's maybe – maybe the fault of people like me, because we talk roster so much. There's only 12 games, but the bottom line is not when you do it, it's that you do it. And I don't see you getting mad at Beamer or Matthew Smiley or Joe, or whoever about the kicking situation, because they had to sign this guy simply because Ethan Sanchez is really good. So you just hope tomorrow that the Max Kelly makes all his kicks and there's no moments where you're leaving points on the field in the kicking game. I think the rest of it's going to be fine. I think Clark, as a return man, obviously you have to account for, but I also believe that Carolina's got so many, they got a lot of good athletes that helps your special teams as far as coverages and blocks and stuff like that. So, the key for the special teams tomorrow is maintain Clark and have the other aspect. No surprises in the other aspects, particularly the kicking game. And then if they do struggle, know that help is here. Ethan Sanchez, very, very good kicker. It's almost like that was kind of the final thing roster wise. I think they'd like to have another tight end. But man, by the way, Brady Hunt, the subject of second scrimmage internet injury rumors, is he got banged up, and I guess whoever saw it report thought it was serious, and there's posts all over everything and the message boards and whatnot. But he's fine, as Beamer said. He was in a walking boot the other day. Somebody saw him, and there was all this question about, oh my God, and it was just a bruise, but he's fine. He's going to start. And so, Yeah. So that's probably, if I looked at the roster, not saying all these guys, there's a difference between filling needs and setting yourself up and then actually going and doing it. Roster conversation is ends today. I mean, as far as building of the roster these days, I guess you take that bad boy right on up to kickoff, right? Especially if you're in Baton Rouge. But anyway, that ends today. So all the rosters, this is a good roster build, a good roster. Well, it is on paper. I mean, there's a lot of talent on this roster. And if they don't win this year, it's still, trust me, there's going to be a lot of guys that play football on Sundays on this roster. There are other factors that go into winning and losing and performance and all that happy stuff. But, filling needs and it's just setting yourself up. It's really preparation. When we cover this stuff, recruiting, transfer portal, it's all about preparation for this moment or these moments that start tomorrow. And I know we'd all like to know, and hopefully maybe the Power Four follows what FCS is going to do, which is combine practices with other schools and stuff. I think that would be neat. That would help, right? But I kind of look at it and, I kind of look at it as this is all preparation. And the only thing you can ask for is anyone that cares about a team, that's fans, people, analysts, players, coaches, is to do all you can to prepare and then let the chips fall where they may. And that's preparation on the offseason for roster as far as development. Transfer portal, recruiting, putting guys in the right position is more of a coaching thing. And then you got to coach, and then you got to coach on game day. I mean, there's all these factors that go in to it. So, yeah. So Ethan Sanchez is the cherry on top of the Sunday O roster build of the sixth year of the Shane Beamer era at South Carolina. I cannot believe this is year six for Coach Beamer. When you get older, man, time just flies by. I was my dog today. I was we got up and I was like, "Hey, buddy, it's game day." Or again, it's not game day yet, but it's game weekend. And I counted. This is my 14th football season with this guy. 14th, and I was thinking about the big spur number, like 20 years. I was like, "Man, 2013. That was year seven of the big Spurs. It's been twice as long since then." I don't like that, folks. You want to start singing Forever Young? Forever Young. Just kidding. Coffee is not supposed to be humorous. It's supposed to be straight, just the facts. My prediction for the game, and I'll give it several more times. I think it's going to be up on Gamecock Central, the big spur later today in our picks. I'm going to continue with the weird scores in the opener. And I'm going to go positive here. I hate score predictions because there's all these scenarios, but this is in my mind, the algorithm in my head, probably a likely scenario. If you think about Beamer's openers, the final scores haven't all been strange. Some of them have, but 46 to nothing, 46 is not, 45 is normal, 46 isn't. The 35-14 win over Georgia State featured two touchdowns, two two-point conversions. How they got there was weird. 35-14 is not a weird number. In 2023, 31-17 is a normal score, kind of extra normal. You see that score a lot. So that was the one outlier. 2024, 23-19. Different, right? A little different. And then last year, 24 to 11. 11 is a weird number. And so I'm going to go with 54 to 8. Now, 54, you say, yeah, 54. Will they miss two-point conversions, two extra points? I don't know. 54-8, that's what's been kind of in my head all week. So we're going to go with that. And that's a cover, folks, because I think it's 35 and a half on Polymarket, 36 and a half on Polymarket. But Raphael will get you through all that later today on Inside the Gamecocks. The preview show, we start at 10. And check us out online for game coverage on GamecockCentral.com, TheBigSpur.com, on three. All this crazy mess with the lawsuits and the SEC. I'm sure we'll address that at some point. And LSU, what a wild time in Baton Rouge. That's probably why I think Clemson's got a shot to go down there and win. This is too much. All that stuff's on three, so check it out. Don't forget Four Quarter Friday later this morning, and then the preview show, and we're into another season of Carolina football, folks. Hopefully it's a good one. And I'm JC Sherbert. This is Coffee. I'm out. Holla at you soon.